My name is Garland Robinson. I'm sure you've heard people make a statement something like, oh, you know, they're Christians in all denominations, or that, you know, there's good people in all churches that's going to be saved. Well, those statements are said many times by people, but are they true? Is it true that good people in all the different churches will be saved? Can a person be a member of a denomination and go to heaven? Well, of course, these are very serious questions, and they deserve a very serious answer, because there are millions and millions and millions of people who are members of denominational churches. Well, we want to answer these questions, and we want to give you a Bible answer. I'm sure you're not interested in what I think about it. Nobody has a right to pass their own personal judgment on anyone else. It is our task or job, any of us, to look at what the Bible says and to certainly recognize God's standard, God's word about a thing. We do read what Jesus said in John 7, verse 24, when he said, "Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment." When we judge righteous judgment, we're simply recognizing the judgment God has already made. It's not my job to judge, or yours, or anyone else. It is God's job, however, and that's what we want to do, is to recognize God's drawing line. That's what you ought to be interested in. Where is God's drawing line between those who are lost and those who are saved? Not only that, we want to recognize where God has drawn that line. I'm aware of this subject when you talk about denominations and talking about heaven and hell. I know that arouses frustrations in some people, sometimes hurt feelings, and often people get upset. Well, I assure you that I'm not intending to hurt your feelings. The last thing in the world I want to do is to offend you in any way. But if you're offended, we want it to be and make sure that it's because of what the Bible says, not what I say. I will mention that if the manner in which I speak these words or the tone of my voice offends you in some way, then I'm sorry. I apologize for that. But if it's the Bible, if it's the truth of God that offends you, then I can't take that back. I'm not sorry there. I can't change the truth. We can't apologize for the gospel, for the truth. Even the Lord offended people. In Matthew chapter 13, we read in verse 54, "And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, Whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works?" When we read in verse 57, "And they were offended in him." Well, when the Lord spoke, there were those who were offended at what he said. In Matthew chapter 15, we read in verses 11 to 13, when the Lord was teaching concerning some of the Pharisees, he said, "Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying?" You know what Jesus' reply was? He said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up." He didn't apologize, did he? He simply told the truth. In John chapter 6, we read in verse 60 and 61, "There were many of the disciples, when they heard the things the Lord was talking about, said, Oh, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" When Jesus himself knew that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, "Doth this offend you?" In verse 66, we read, "And from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? And Simon Peter answered and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." Friend, that is our intention here, is to speak the truth. Simply read it from the Bible, the Word of God. And if that offends you, then I'm sorry that it does, but we can't change the truth. We can't apologize for the gospel at all. So let's give our undivided attention to what the Bible says. I want to go to heaven, and I know surely you do also. And if I'm not doing something right, if I'm not believing and teaching and living according to the Scriptures, then you'd be my friend to tell me about it. so that I can correct it. Well, then isn't it also the case that I would be your friend to help you to see the gospel truth and that you might make the necessary changes or penance in your life so that you might be faithful unto the Lord and go to heaven when you die? So why would anyone be upset? Why would anyone resent being told that they're headed in the wrong direction? If you want directions to Little Rock, Arkansas, and someone gives you directions to Asheville, North Carolina, would you be offended if someone told you you were going the wrong way, that you had to turn around? If you were scheduled for surgery to have your tonsils or appendix out, and the attendant saw that the doctor was about to remove a kidney or to take out something else, would you get mad at them correcting the doctor, pointing out that he's about to do the wrong thing? No, you would not. You would appreciate that and want them to tell him and warn him before it's too late. Well, what about parents or grandparents? What did they do? Or what they did or didn't do? That's not really the question here. We're not considering their sincerity or their intentions. What we are talking about is us today. Talking about me, talking about you, not anybody else. I'll not answer for what you have done, nor will you answer for me, nor anyone else. Ezekiel 18 verse 20 says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him." So everyone will do and be judged according to what they have done. A lot of people feel like which church you belong to doesn't make any difference. They just say, well, just join the church of your choice. Some people don't even think you even have to be a member of the church anyway. But again, let us ask the question simply, what does the Bible say? Friend, have you ever considered the possibility that the church of the New Testament is separate and apart from any and all denominations? Did you know you can be a member of the church we read about in the Bible without being a member of any denomination? Well, you may say, well, how is that possible? Well, I hope you are asking that question. All right, let's consider some things then from the Bible. In the days of the apostles, that is, the days of the first century, not a single Christian was a member of any denominational church. Well, now, how do I know that? I didn't live back then. Well, I know that because no denominations existed back then, not in the days of the first century. At that time, there was only the church. Man's ideas and philosophy had yet to be introduced. The Bible reveals, even in the New Testament, an apostasy, a falling away from the truth. We read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day will not come except there come a falling away first." Well, there was a departure from the truth. There was a falling away from the purity of the gospel. Initially, it took its form in Roman Catholicism. The Roman Catholic Church didn't ever begin to even take recognizable shape until centuries after the Church of the New Testament. So it is far too young to be the Church of the Bible. Protestantism, comprising of all the various denominations, they didn't even come till after that. They didn't even begin until the period of the Reformation. And that was only about 500 years ago. So they were 1,500 years too late from the time of the New Testament. So it's safe to conclude that if Peter and James and John and Matthew and Bartholomew and all the other apostles, if they were not and could not be members of denominational churches, then why should we be? Why would you want to be a member of something that they knew nothing about, that did not exist in those days? For one, we need to recognize and understand that denominationalism promotes division. And did you know the Bible condemns division? In 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10, we read where Paul had written that we all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. He said those words concerning the church at Corinth who were divided. Some were saying, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I believe this, I believe that, I follow this or that. And he says, Brandon, look, you need to all be the same thing. I've heard preachers today say, oh, I'm glad for denominations. I'm glad we can just pick and choose, just like a smorgasbord at a restaurant or something. You just go down and pick out, you know, everybody don't like the same thing. Well, that's true when it comes to food. That's true in a lot of areas of life. But it's not true when it comes to religion. The Lord didn't make it so we could just pick and choose the one we wanted. He gave us His, and the devil has put in all kinds of others and tried to disguise them to make people think that that is the true church and people want it. But you know what the Lord prayed? John 17, verse 20 and 21, He said, neither pray I for these alone. Here He's speaking of the apostles. But for them also which shall believe on Me through their word, that they all may be one, as Thou, Father, art in Me, and I in Thee, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent Me. Here Jesus prayed for unity. He didn't pray for division. He wasn't thankful for denominational churches. He wanted them not to exist, because He prayed that everyone believe the same thing, practice the same thing. And when you read in the New Testament, you find the Bible speaks of only one church. In Ephesians 4 and verse 4, there is one body. He didn't say two bodies. He didn't say many bodies. Back in chapter 1 of Ephesians, verse 22 and 23, He says the body is the church. So if there's only one body, then there's only one church. In John 10, verse 16, Jesus said, there is one fold and one shepherd. Since there's only one Lord, there's only one God, there's only one church. Ephesians 4, verses 4 to 6 tell us that. And God has not planted all the many different churches, all the many different denominations, or all the different bodies. He planted only one. And He said in Matthew 15, 13, every plant which My heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Somebody may say, well, do you think you're in your little bunch the only ones going to heaven? Well, friend, it doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what the brethren think. It don't even matter what you think. What does matter is what God says. What does the Bible say? The Bible says there's only one church, Ephesians 4 and verse 4. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 20. That church is not divided. It's not a denomination. If so, where's the Scripture? That Scripture, friend, is not there. The Lord's church is only one. It is the one that He will come and save again at this last great day. Won't you be a member of it? If we can assist you in your obedience to the gospel and your further study into the truth, then please give us a call.